A scripture reading tonight will come from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Good evening. Appreciate very much the opportunity to be able to stand before you this evening, deliver a message from God's Word. I want to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity and the confidence they have in me to stand up here and do this. And I just pray that something that I can say tonight will be beneficial to us all as we strive to grow and strive to be more like Christ every day. I want to thank Brother Jeff for his sermon this morning. I thought he did a really excellent job, really good as he always does. There's just a couple points in my sermon tonight that he made in his this morning as well. One is about the men's training class. And I think that's just a testament to how successful that class is, how beneficial it has been to those who have been back there and been a part of that. The second one is I've got a little blurb in here about my dad as well. Except I'm not going to talk about age. I'm going to be a good son this evening. I got interested in this topic about time and managing time and how we manage our time back last summer when I had the opportunity to attend a developers conference, a software developers conference down in Knoxville, or as my wife lovingly refers to it, as a nerd conference. But there was a really smart guy there from Microsoft, and he was the keynote speaker, and he spent most of his time talking about the future of technology, where things are going, what's coming up. But towards the end, he spent just a little bit of time talking about how we manage our time, how we use our time. And there's other videos and stuff that he's got online that you can look at that's kind of interesting. But as I was listening to this, I kept thinking to myself, I could really use some of this in my spiritual life. I could use some of this kind of stuff in my spiritual life. Am I using my time effectively? Am I using it on the things that are the most important in life? And of course, that is our service to God. And there are certainly several Bible verses on how we spend our time. And one of those that was just read in the scripture reading so well, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, just to read it once again, says, "So then, be careful how you live. Do not be unwise, but wise, making the best use of your time, because the times are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Of course, there's also the parable of the sower, where one of those grounds was the thorny ground. And it teaches us that the word is crowded out of our lives by all the busyness and the things going on in our lives. And we're never allowed to grow into maturity because of that. Also, several months ago, one Sunday here, we had two really, really good sermons on servant leadership. And in both of those, I think it was mentioned that how we manage our time is a necessity if we're going to be a good servant leader. And of course, there's also this very famous philosopher who had this quote to say. She said, "If the devil can't get you to sin, he will keep you busy." Everybody remember here who said that? Yeah, Diane Bain said that. And she should be considered a famous philosopher if she's not. Just a couple of disclaimers before we get started this evening that I think are important. The sermon's going to be a little different, but one, we're going to be looking at some very specific time management techniques. And, there's all kinds of time management techniques that exist. And the ones that I list and go through tonight may not be ones that you like or that work for you or whatever, and that's fine. The idea is that you kind of understand how they work, how to use them, how to implement them. And then in your own life, you can find one and use it. So I think that's important. And the second one, and this is the one that kind of gave me the most pause and concern as I was putting the sermon together, But I think it's important to remember we're talking about our spiritual lives. We're talking about the most important thing that we have, the most precious thing that we own. So I don't want you leaving here thinking that I want you to turn your lives into to-do lists and timers and that kind of thing. No, I don't. We're not here to put our time in. I think certainly God expects a lot more of us than that. But in my mind, this sermon is just for that everyday. Am I letting the busyness of this life just kind of overtake my spiritual life? To overtake my devotion to spiritual things. And that's certainly what I hope you get out of it. That's my prayer. And I hope that's what you see as we go forward this evening. I want to start this evening by defining these two terms, effectiveness and efficiency. Effectiveness and efficiency. And effectiveness in this context means that I'm going to choose the right things to do. I'm choosing the right things to do. It's more goal-oriented. Are the things I'm choosing to do things that are taking my life in the direction that it needs to go? Effectiveness. Efficiency is more, now that I've chosen the correct thing to do, I want to do it really, really well. I want to do this thing really, really well. I want to do it correctly, and I want to do it well. And it's kind of interesting. These two terms in a lot of languages are exactly the same. And you actually have to kind of take efficiency and make a phrase out of it to kind of describe what it means. But in English, I think you can see that subtle difference there. That is, effectiveness is choosing the right thing to do. But efficiency is, once you've chosen that, I'm going to do it correctly. I'm going to do it really well. And so just making a comparison to email, kind of take the inbox of your life. We have so many things coming into our life. There's so much information. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TV, podcast, radio, websites, etc. And there's so many things that we can be doing. Ball games, parks, zoos, recreation. And we have all these things coming into our lives. And we have to decide what it is that we're going to do. But as Christians, we also have work to do from our Heavenly Father. If you'll look with me, we sing the song, "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes," and that is based on John 9, verse 4, which says, "We must work the works of Him who sent me what is day. Night is coming when no one can work." And also Galatians 6, and verse 9, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And so we have all these things coming to our lives. How are we going to make these decisions? How are we going to do this? And one of the reasons that I would argue that our lives become so busy, it's kind of funny, but it's because we've really become too lazy to sit down and make these decisions. We don't take the time to sit down and make the decision on what it is we should be doing. And so we just try to do everything. Yes, you know, I really do think I can watch the ball game. I can take the kids to the zoo. I can go to the park. I can go to the movies. I can do the grocery shopping. I can have a family meal. I can get my lesson for church, and I can attend all the services, and I can do all that in one weekend. No problem, right? So I think as Christians, one of the most important time management techniques that we can learn is just drop it. It's just drop it. We have to realize that we're not going to be able to do all the things that the world does. Even if those things are not wrong, and certainly many of them are not, there's just not enough time to do them all and do the things that the Lord has set before us to do. So how are we going to make some of these really important decisions on what we need to be doing? And certainly you may have heard of this before, but for example, one way to do this is ranking things based on urgency and importance. Urgency and importance. For example, something that is urgent and important is something like your wife going into labor. We're going to have to go ahead and take care of that right now, right? That can't wait. But there are certainly things that are important, but they're not urgent. So those things can kind of be scheduled out. We can schedule them around other important things. Then there are things that are not important and they're not urgent. And so those can kind of, we just drop those. We're done with those. We drop them. They're done. But the issue is we tend to spend too much of our time on things that are urgent, or at least we think they're urgent, but they're not important. And so one way we do this is seeing somebody else doing something on, we see somebody else doing something on Facebook or wherever it is, and you know, we see somebody going to the zoo one weekend. We see somebody going to Bear Wallow one weekend. We see somebody going to Cumberland Falls one weekend. And I like all those places. And I want to do all those things with Manny Sue. They're important. But I can't do them all in one weekend. But it has this way of just building urgency inside of us. We've got to get it done now. We've got to do it right now. And so we spend all of our time on these things that seem urgent, but they're really not important. And I think this is just a great example of the parable of the sower. And how the devil can just trick us into spending our time on these unimportant things that just weed out all of our time that we need to be spending for God. And so sometimes saying no is absolutely the correct answer. That is the correct answer. Kind of interesting. All systems that we deal with today work in this same manner of saying no. So take, for example, the phone system and the internet. You've been talking on the phone and it kind of starts to cut out a little bit. Or you miss a few words here and there. Or maybe, at the very least, you get cut off. But that's not so bad. I mean, you can still try to make out what they're saying, or at the very least, you can call them back. I mean, the phone system didn't fail because you had a little static or whatever. Or maybe you've ever tried to go to google.com, and you hit enter, and the web page doesn't load. But then you hit refresh again and it comes right up. Well, why did it do that? Well, because it has this mechanism built in when too many things are coming into it at one time. The internet didn't melt down just because you had to wait a few seconds to get to your website. It wasn't a failure. It's the same in our lives. If we have to shut down the spiritual side of our lives, or if we have to shut down the spiritual things just to fit in all the other things of our life, then we failed. We failed God, and we certainly failed ourselves. Then there's this idea of psychic weight that we don't often think about. Psychic weight. And just a great example of that. When the DVR came out, I thought this was going to be one of the greatest things ever. Because now, I don't have to be home at a specific time to watch Law & Order. I can set it to record, and it'll record, and I can watch it whenever I want. And so, you know, my TV lineup at home is Channel 1 is ESPN, Channel 2 is ESPN 2, and Channel 3 is Law & Order. So this is great. This is going to save me so much time. It's going to save me so much time. This device, this invention, this thing that's come out, it's literally going to give me time. What can happen is, if you don't watch it, is it'll start to weigh on you. Kind of start to weigh you down. You know, I've got 10 episodes of this show to watch. When in the world am I going to watch 10 episodes of a show? So you get home from work, you try to put the kids to bed early, and you're going to try to get through as many Law & Orders as possible. You're going to fast forward all through all the commercials, and we're going to get this thing under control tonight. We've got this thing solved. And so this DVR, this great invention, this great thing that I've done, has now just become psychic weight in my life. It's gone from something that was going to give me time to something that's just become a stressful to-do list in my life. And so this leads us to think about, what is it that we really want to be doing? And so if we want to think about the things we want to get done today, this week, things we want to get done this year, one way to do that is the rule of three. The rule of three, write down three things that you want to get done today, three things that you want to get done this week, and three things that you want to get done this year. And if watching the entire 20 seasons of Law & Order is one of those things you want to do this year, then absolutely put it on that list. But if it's not, should probably be the first thing that we drop. So for example, something that you might put for today is, I want to work on prayer. I want to work on my prayer life. I want to find more time for prayer. And that's a good thing. One thing for this week might be, well, I want to make sure I get my work group responsibilities done. I want to make sure I get my lesson done for church. And then for this year, maybe it's to teach a class or to preach a sermon. And certainly these things are going to be different for everybody. But the rule of three is going to help us accomplish a few different things. One, it's going to help us get rid of psychic weight. By focusing only on these three things, we're not always concerned about all these crushing to-do lists that we put on ourselves that we know we're just never going to get done. We're never going to get those things done, so why even worry about them? Two, it's going to give us a vision and a direction for where we're wanting to go. We've talked about, we have things to do. We have things to accomplish. We have things to get done in His kingdom. This is a good way to define that work and to make sure it's getting done. And the other thing that can help us with is to make sure that we are growing as Christians. 2 Peter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." So we are commanded to grow. But I think sometimes it can be too easy just to assume that we're growing or to think we're growing, but we're really not. And this gives us a mechanism by which that we can see real measurable growth, because we can sit down at the end of that week, or we can sit down at the end of that year and was able to accomplish these things, was able to do these things. Yes, I was, so I was able to grow. And I know this is something I need to do a lot better. And you know, all these things that I'm presenting you are things I need to work on and things I need to do better. And I hope, you know, it can help give us a mechanism by which we can all work on these things and do these things better. And so that's effectiveness, choosing to do the right things. And now let's turn our attention to efficiency. So we've chosen the right thing to do, but now I want to do it really, really well. And I think a great example of this is the men's training class. We're not back there choosing the things that we're going to be doing. We're not back there deciding, you know, are we still going to let Sean preach on Sunday morning? I mean, how many songs are we going to sing? That's not what we're back there doing. We're saying, how can we do these things better? How can we do them more correctly? How can our worship to God be better based on, you know, the way we lead the service and the things we're doing. We know what we're going to be doing. How are we going to do them better? But I really want to concentrate this evening more on our personal work. Things like prayer, things like Bible study, things like Bible class preparation. Are there things that we can do to improve our concentration, our focus, our efficiency as we do our work for the Lord? And one way to improve efficiency is the Pomodoro technique. And I don't know if you've heard of this or not, but the Pomodoro is basically a kitchen timer that looks like a tomato, and it runs for 25 minutes. And obviously, any timer will do, but it helps enforce this principle of work sprints. And work sprints are just short time periods of doing work, but you only focus on one thing, but you do that thing really, really, really well. And so we've talked about, we have a lot to do for the Lord, we have a lot to accomplish, we have a lot we want to do, and obviously the more efficiently we can do that, the more we're going to be able to do. So the idea here is that you set this timer, and you focus on one thing only, no multitasking with this, and you do it for 25 minutes. Maybe it's Bible study, maybe it's prayer, maybe it's work group work, preparing an invitation, sermon, whatever it is, you focus on just this one thing. And the amazing thing is, at first, you will absolutely not be able to do this. There's no way. You'll kind of start twitching, and then all of a sudden you'll look and you've liked something on Facebook. And you're like, well, I didn't even get my phone out. And I mean, how did that happen? You know, but it just kind of happens because that's what we're so used to. But these kind of things are known as internal interruptions. Things like when your mind is trying to focus on, you know, when I get this done, I need to go to the store and get some milk. Or, you know, I just received this email and I need to respond to it right now. And so when these things happen, you just make a little tick on a sheet of paper. And so say to yourself, I'm starting a Pomodoro. I'm starting this 25-minute work sprint. And the objective is just be aware of the number of interruptions that are occurring during that time. And you'll look back and you'll say, you know, I interrupted myself 6 times during that work sprint. And you'll get numbers like that at first. Big numbers. You interrupted yourself a lot. But then you'll do it again, and you'll only interrupt yourself twice. And then you'll do it again. You'll only interrupt yourself once. And then you'll start thinking about productivity in your life is how many work sprints that you can get done. Well, how much time was that? Well, it was like 2 hours. But, man, I got a whole lot done. I got a whole lot accomplished. That time, and that's the point. That's the point here. That time has become so productive because you were sprinting. You were being so efficient. And so I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking this is kind of crazy. You're thinking, you know, Darren just put this sermon together, and I know that he was not sitting at his kitchen table with his little tomato timer and not messing with his phone and all that. And you're right, I wasn't. Like I've said, these are things I need to work on. I need to do better. I can do better all the time. But there was one illustration that kind of stuck out in my head as I was putting this together that I thought was interesting. Everybody here know who Usain Bolt is. Same Bolt. And just in case you don't, he is the Olympic record holder for the 100-meter dash, which happens to make him the fastest man alive. He's the fastest man alive. He trains for literally years to run this race that lasts less than 10 seconds. And so can you imagine if about halfway through this race, he drags out his phone and takes a look at it? I mean, of course not. That's ridiculous, right? We see how ridiculous that is. But is it even more ridiculous when we as children of God do the same thing when we're working for the Lord? I think it's easy to see that we would get a lot more done and a lot more of it by staying focused on working for the Lord and not letting interruptions get in the way. Because also, remember anything that important that happens in this world, that happens in the news, in your life, at your work, or whatever, it's always going to find its way back to you. If another 9/11 happens, somebody's going to tell you. You're probably not going to find out by sitting at your desk refreshing CNN.com every 5 seconds. Or did somebody famous just die? I have to know right now. Refresh, refresh, refresh. What just happened? But instead, be wrapped up. Be caught up in the things that's captured our attention. Be excited about what it is that's captured your attention. And since we're talking about spiritual things, be excited about those things. You know, these are the things we want to be doing. It's a lot like a child does, and I've seen this in Maddie Sue, and I know all of you all probably seen this in your children. Whether she's playing or she's watching TV or whatever, she's totally engrossed in what she's doing. And it can be very difficult to even break her attention. But why is it? Why are kids like that? Because they're just so excited. They're so into it. And that's the kind of excitement. That's the kind of focus. That's the kind of attention that we need to have on things of God. And that clearly doesn't involve checking our computer or the phone or whatever it is every chance that we get. We all like to think that we can multitask and that we can do it well. But you really can't. I mean, it's a proven fact, not just in computer science, but in any system, the optimal number of things going on at one time is one. That is when you'll be your most efficient. And the issue with multitasking is that you end up spending so much of your time on task switching. And that is just the amount of time and energy that it takes to go from one task to another. And this hits home for me because I personally am a terrible task switcher. And I don't know if that means I'm doing a good job of getting engrossed in what I'm doing or if I'm just slow or whatever it is. But going from one thing to another is very difficult. Somebody will walk in and ask, you know, do you know the answer to something? This is only just take a minute, I promise. But the time it takes my mind to get off what I was doing, get it on what they want me to focus on, figure out what's going on there, and then get back into what I was doing can be quite extensive. That can take some time. If it happens over and over again, that can add up. I think a good example of this, have you ever been working on something and your dad calls? And you're kind of rude to your dad on the phone, right? And then you go back to whatever you were doing, and a little while later you stop and think, well, why was I so rude to my dad? Why was I like that? I certainly didn't mean to be. I didn't mean to be that way. But it was just that abrupt switch from one thing to another, and now you've messed up that phone call, and it's going to take you some time to get focused back on what you were working on. I mean, that interruption had a cost. And once again, we're just making this point that when we're studying our Bible, when we're preparing lessons, when we're praying, that effort's going to be much more effective when we can stay focused and limit the distractions going on around us. I think we often hear this line of thought at the Lord's Supper, when we're taking the Lord's Supper. Oftentimes, the one praying will say, you know, Lord, help us clear our minds of the things in this world. Help us to focus on you as we take the Lord's Supper this morning. And that's really the concept that we're talking about here. You know, Lord, help us to be mindful of and to clear the busyness out of our lives that can take up so much of our time. I think it's interesting to note that Jesus used some of these same ideas of how to focus on one thing in his life. And I think we see this most evident in his prayer life. When he would go out to the mountains to pray, Jesus certainly felt that he needed to be alone to speak with his Father. After a busy day of teaching and performing miracles and before the start of another such day, Mark tells us this about Jesus in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. He says there, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Luke also records this custom of Jesus in Luke 5 and verse 16, "But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." Also in Matthew 14 and verse 23, after the feeding of the 5,000, Matthew records that Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Jesus knew it, and I think we need to realize that there are just times when we need to get away from the busy affairs of this life to seek solace with our Father. But do we find ourselves rising early in the morning to rush off to work, spend the day working, rush home to participate in activities with the family, and then go to bed late, realizing that we really haven't spent much time with our Father today? Instead, we should follow the example of Jesus in Matthew 6. In verse 6, he says there, "Go into your room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." I think another example of this is Christ and the apostles at the Transfiguration. If you remember there, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain with him to pray. And he was praying, his appearance changed. And Moses and Elijah appeared, and they talked with Jesus about his death and the things that were going to take place. And then, of course, there was the voice of God. He is saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen, whom I love. Listen to him." And, of course, that's a very short retelling of that amazing event. But what was the purpose there? Why did he do that? What was the purpose? What was the purpose of Jesus taking them onto this mountain and showing them this great event? Well, so they could have a better understanding of who he was and what it was that he was about to do. They were really struggling with that. And so that they could have a better understanding to tell others about Jesus after his resurrection. But how was it that they accomplished that? Well, it was accomplished by taking them up on the mountain away from everything that was going on so that their focus could be on him and him alone. How is it that we are going to truly understand who Jesus is, what Jesus has done for us, and what it is he expects from our lives? How are we going to do that? Well, that's going to be accomplished when we are able to put aside all the busyness of this life and focus our lives on him. And that's the lesson this evening. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, won't you become one this evening? To devote your life and your focus on him to what he wants you to be? How can you do that? Well, you can do it, hear the word and believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because he is. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. And live faithfully all the days of your life. We can help you in any way. Won't you come now? Together we stand as we sing.